News Network. A politician on the campaign trail once said, "We choose truth over facts." I don't need to mention any names, Joe Biden. But if you think that statement is reassuring, you're probably not going to like what happens next. Because you're in the home of blunt force truth, of conservative thought, not just talk, of facts that are truth. Welcome to TNN, the Truth News Network. And here's Dan Newman.
You know what? Sometimes it's good to laugh. We talk about all this stuff and it's real, real heavy. And on that note, Steve Baker joins us now. I think I looked in my crystal ball. You're actually speaking to us from North Carolina today. Am I right?
I am. Good morning, Dan.
Well, Steve, somebody dropped a bomb on Washington, D.C., and it spread all around the world. You and I talked early this morning in full disclosure, and we talked about the topics for today that needed to be discussed. And I just tried to lighten the show up a little bit because, you know what? I get sometimes you just feel dirty all over when you spend 2 hours a day or you do your investigative stuff and you're sitting in a courtroom day after day and hearing all kinds of evil being spewed from the mouths of people that are supposed to be bastions of integrity and honesty and members of the court that are going to protect us. And all of that is nothing but BS. It gets old after a while.
You know, we talked about this last week. We talked about how it seems like every time you and I get on the phone, all we have to convey are those messages of gloom and doom and the apocalypse, you know, or the zombie apocalypse that's coming, whatever the case may be. And I will open on a let's call it dark humor note. Okay, so we'll at least progress a little bit out of the gloom and the doom. I have spent the last several days doing an experiment that I have never done before, and obviously it's been out there for a while now, but I have actually been experimenting with communicating with one of these AI programs. Your listeners may have heard of this ChatGPT. And I took on the experiment specifically because I wanted to see what artificial intelligence was thinking about some of the projects that I've been working on, some of the, you know, the investigations I've been doing, both overtly and covertly, some things that I've not revealed yet. I just wanted to get its impression of what I've been working on. And jumping to the chase here, I didn't really know how to use it. I didn't know how to establish a dialogue. I was mistakenly using it more as almost a, you know, a kind of an advanced Google search. And so some of my followers, readers throughout the internet, at the various locations where you can find my stuff. And when I reported on this the first time, some guys that are more in tune with this thing, more experience, some actual experts in the field, got on me and said, "Hey, you're just doing it all wrong." So they gave me some advice on how to go after this AI thing, and literally the fact that I can challenge the responses that I get from this artificial intelligence. So I started doing that because what I learned, Dan, is that it was, first of all, there were a lot of the responses that I received were just dead wrong. They were factually errant, and they shouldn't have been, because ostensibly, this AI computer program should be able to go out and crawl out all over the interwebs everywhere and put the facts together and find that which is more accurate than that which might be less accurate in terms of just raw data. And it was often wrong. And so when I went back and started challenging the artificial intelligence, I learned that it would admit that it would apologize to me. So, "I'm sorry, you're right. Now that I look a little bit further, I see what you're talking about." And suddenly it starts developing more of a conversation with me. And then I pushed it a little bit further and I started to try and see if it would, even though it would admit that it was wrong and it would apologize to me, the one thing I could not get it to confess to is that it was pre-programmed with a particularly, let's just say, a political bias. Because ultimately, almost all of its mistakes were mistakes because of where it was obviously drawing its information, what side of the political aisle or what side of the media, right wing, left wing, however you want to define it. So the more I pushed it to confess to me that it was a that it had pre-programming, although it never would, it finally told me that, well, I'm still kind of new at this. And as a result of that, I am having to rely upon what my builders, my programmers have led me to in terms of my sources. So obviously, I at least got it to admit to something like that. So I say all of that to say this. So I've had about I've been for 3 or 4 days now communicating with a machine, artificial intelligence. And so last night I decided to close out my 3 days worth of communications with this machine. And I asked it to write some poems for me in the style of some of the masters and some of the greats. And I'm not going to read them all to you, but I'm going to read you one. I asked it to write me a poem in the style of E.E. Cummings that reflects how the Department of Justice is handling the defendants in the January 6th, 2021, riots at the Capitol.
Do I need before you start, do I need to put on, what kind of music do I need to put on behind you reading the GPT chat, whatever form?
Oh man, I hadn't thought of that. That's great.
We'll do it next.
Mars, the Bringer of War by Franz Holt. How about that?
Well, next time, give me a little lead up and I'll have some music behind the machine's poem. Go ahead.
All right. So here it is in the style of E.E. Cummings with no punctuation marks and no capitalization, of course. Here we go. Oh, Justice B, your sword unsheathed to mete out truth and prosecute the deceived. The Capitol stormed by an angry horde to disrupt, destroy, and break the lawful accord. But the DOJ, firm in its solemn role, investigates, indicts, and upholds the rule of the whole. So let us trust in the blindfolded maid to balance the scales and ensue justice is conveyed. And here's the frightening part about that, Dan. It took less than 2 seconds for this machine, artificial intelligence, to write that poem. Less than 2 seconds. It was complete.
Wow.
Just popped up in front of me that fast. And that was, that stunned me. The second thing that stunned me was E.E. Cummings was one of my favorites as I was growing up, particularly in literature. And as I studied that, I was pretty good at it in school. And so not only was the form accurate, not only was the quality of the verse is just amazing, but after I mentioned to you, first of all, that I had a inherent kind of feeling or perception that there was a pre-programming in this machine learning towards a bias, a particular bias. And if we go back to that first verse and listen to how it closed it out, it said, "Oh, Justice B, your sword unsheathed to mete out truth and prosecute the deceived."
Well,
did you catch that?
Yes, I did. The first time you read it, I caught that. And I thought it was kind of curious. It tells me two things. First of all, the machine that created that is a Democrat, maybe somewhere left of a Democrat. And secondly, it's female.
You think so?
Well,
Maybe it's a transgender.
Oh no.
AI.
It's definitely female. It's because of this. Those two things. That last sentence of that first part of the poem showed me that it was a Democrat, because Democrats they demand they have the sole power to prosecute whoever that they think is wrong. And secondly, you said before you read the poem that the machine apologized and said it was wrong, so it couldn't be female. There's no living, breathing female on earth that is ever wrong. And I'll get some hate mail over saying that, but I'm just trying to be factual.
I'm pleading the fifth on that one, Dan.
What this thing does is I've heard a lot about this artificial intelligence and ChatGPT. I haven't checked it out yet, but people I know that have are just blown away by the fact that there is a computer out there that can communicate and make, I don't want to say intelligence responses, but they're getting from programming in a matter of just seconds information they've been programmed with, and that could happen. Think about putting that kind of operation in play in numerous parts of our lives. And if they did, whoever they is, if they did, there would be millions of us that would never know if we're communicating with a human or with a computer. That's spooky.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's amazing when you think that, as I said, I put in the parameters of this request for this poem. And all I said was, in the style of E.E. Cummings, I want you to write me a poem that reflects on the Department of Justice handling of the defendants in the January 6th riots. And then I hit enter, and it took less than 2 seconds for it to perfectly convey and write an E.E. Cummings style poem about that, with the additional bias included, obviously.
Sure.
And the amazing part is that I'm using the low-level version, not the paid version, which is, I forget how many more times advanced than this version. I haven't decided to pay for it yet. But just using the free version, it's kind of mind-boggling to think that it can do these things. But when you extrapolate that what it did for me in 2 seconds, how much of our society is going to be affected and how many of our jobs are going to be replaced by this. Why would anybody hire, let's just go to, a book editor, a publisher. Why hire an editor when you can have an AI do that in 2 seconds? It wrote this, not edited it, wrote it and did so perfectly. And you can imagine just feeding it a transcript from a writer. And then you have to ask, did the writer even write it?
Yeah.
Did the writer have an AI program write it for them?
Yeah.
How many newsrooms are going to be smaller in the next 10 years because they can just enter in the parameters like I did and say, I need a story on the Trump prosecution from, Alvin Bragg and, attorney general, or rather the district attorney in New York, and I need a story on an update on that, and give it a little more specificity. I need to know where the grand jury is on this right now, and can you pop that out for me? And then 3 seconds later or less, we have your story, and then you go to print with it.
I tell you this, the thought of that even happening, it's mind-boggling for me, because they could have a machine that replaces you, that replaces me in communication, but it would always be slanted to someone that wrote the program, slanted
That's
to
correct.
Whatever they want that machine to say. Hey, listen, speaking of, we're going to take a break right now. On the other side of this break, I want to get your 2 cents on Alvin Bragg and what's pending. And also, your 2 cents on the Donald Trump side of that, because as we know, he is a master communicator, and you can book it. He's got something in mind. Be thinking about that while we take this break.
All right.
Steve Baker is with us today. He will be back as always with his wisdom for us in 2 minutes. Don't go anywhere. He'll be
your
back.
Daily dose of the truth. TNN, the Truth News Network. TruthNewsNet.org.
I'm Chad Hall, and I'm here with the first ever Silverado ZR2. This is probably the first time you've seen this truck, but I've been racing a prototype version for over a year. We just inspired this pre-production truck you see behind me. Let's go see what it'll do.
Do the same one.
Copy. It's got phenomenal power, acceleration, good ground clearance, skid protection, and you've got the Multimatic ESSV shocks, so it's just going to be that much more of a fun truck.
You want to go a little faster, go for it.
Copy. It's an amazing truck. You're going to want to get your hands on one.
People think unusual circumstances means complicated taxes. But for a TurboTax Live expert like me, it just makes things interesting. So, give us everything you've got.
What if I'm a professional gamer with a ton of expenses?
If they help drive views, let's talk deductions.
What if I'm in a state with no income tax, but my survival videos are viewed in 38 countries?
I can help. And if this is a business dinner, save those jerky receipts. An interesting life can mean an even greater refund. You do your thing. We've got your taxes. Intuit TurboTax Live.
While some compromise to be nice, others aggressively hold to the truth. Guess which one we are?
TNN, the Truth News Network.
So in this conversation today about who's nice and who's telling the truth, I don't know. We've got Steve Baker on. I'm honest. He's honest. So which one of us is telling the truth today, Mr. Baker?
Well, I will tell you that in my effort to always tell the truth, and look, we all fail because sometimes we don't know what the truth is. So we tell what we think is the truth, and it may not be, but at least we should make the effort. And that is I'm even blanking right now on my favorite guy, you know, our favorite Canadian of the last few years.
Justin Trudeau.
That would be the wrong. Professor.
He wouldn't be your favorite, I'm sure.
No. Jordan Peterson. So Jordan Peterson. You know, one of his rules of life is always tell the truth, or something. I forget what the tagline is, or at least try. You know, because that's the point, is at least try. And when we're talking about political figures and we're talking about political events, particularly at the magnitude of what's happening right now in New York with this crazy district attorney, Dan, if you start from the premise, or you start from your own predisposition or presupposition, or your own political bias, that either one of them, either side, or any player in this is telling the truth, you're crazy, because we don't know. We never know. We have no way of knowing. All we can do is, you know, wait for the smoke to clear, and wait for the, you know, the ashes if the building is burning down to settle, and then sift through those ashes and determine what was truth or not. It is in the heat of this kind of battle. I don't know what the truth is. I know what I think it is, especially when you understand the backgrounds of the players. And where do you want to start with that? I mean, because I know you, and I only heard the half hour leading up to me being on your show today. So I don't know what you did the first the entirety of the first hour, what you covered, but I know that your listeners are probably better informed than most radio listeners out there across America, as far as these players, especially when we're talking about District Attorney Bragg. We know that he's a bought commodity by Soros, and we know that he is controlled by him. We know that he received something in the area of $1 million in his. At least that we know of, in his campaign war chest, in order to get to the position that he's in.
$2 million.
Is it $2 million?
Yeah.
And so as a result of that, we know who is pulling his strings and we know what he has to do. And there's with that background, we can look at his truth or what comes out of his mouth and just assume from the knowledge that he's a controlled entity of where his process is coming from. And it's very clear. I mean, as has been argued by many, in anybody who's been listening to the quote unquote legal experts throughout this development here, is that first of all, there's a problem with statute of limitations for him to bring that up. There's a problem with escalating the charge from a misdemeanor to a felony in order to get around the statute of limitations. And then there's the larger problem of a district attorney who has a real, real problem with crime in his city, and he is trying to level or trying to elevate a misdemeanor charge, that, which basically has been settled for how many years now? This is since 2018.
Yeah.
That this has been settled?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's taking an event from 5 years ago, escalating it for purely political reasons, when he's got more than enough problems to deal with in his own backyard. And yet he's dealing with this problem of from a citizen of Florida, a resident of Florida, legally a resident of Florida, despite Trump's history in New York. So there's so many problems with this and so many obvious political underpinnings to why this is being done, that the right questions are now being asked, which are, and I think I actually heard you mention this in the half hour leading up to my joining you, is that the right questions are being asked now. What kind of connections does he have now with the actual Department of Justice in D.C.? Is there a line of communication open between them that is causing this to happen now, suddenly, you know, out of the blue? And I think that's the perfect question, because I believe, and I am more crystallized in this even since we last spoke, because as you know, I've been in D.C. since we last spoke, that the Department of Justice in this country is in fact the beating heart. It is the core of the Death Star that we're up against right now.
Saying
because,
that, go ahead.
What's that? Yeah, I'll finish that out.
Okay.
Because the Department of Justice, the problems in this country right now are either directly originating from the DOJ, or it is the DOJ who is providing cover for those agencies and those usurpers of rights and those violators of the Constitution that we are doing battle with now.
Years ago, I made a determination that everything that comes out of Washington, D.C., everything has a political slant. And the only way to know if it's righteous, and when I say righteous, truthful, honest, the only way to know what you're hearing and what you're reading is honest is you got to know who's saying it. And so you go back and start there, who's saying it. And everyone in D.C. has a bias. You don't go to Washington. You don't especially go to live and work there unless you have a political bias and that you are pretty comfortable that you can take that up there and turn it into something that's good for you. Now, don't get me wrong. I know there are some diehard red, white, and blue people up there that are doing everything for the right reasons. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is most Americans don't know what the law says. Most Americans don't know what the Constitution is, let alone what it says. So what do? They and what they do are the fuel that makes Washington, D.C. go. If they, whoever they happens to be of the moment, if they can get Americans to believe what they tell them, they win the political war every time. Mm-hmm. And because life is so convoluted for all of us, there are so many moving parts in our lives, we don't have the time And very few of us have the desire to do the digging to find out if what we are being told is the truth, absolute, honest truth, or not. And they feed off of that. That is the energy that is running, especially the U.S. Capitol, and as you said, the Department of Justice. When you see these committee hearings in which FBI Director Christopher Wray, he's confronted, and he throws up this wall of ultimate pontification authority. He throws it up. You can see it in his eyes every time. And you know before a question is asked by the people that he supposedly works for, members of the United States Congress, you almost know how he's going to respond before he answers any question. He always throws that up there. And it's basically, I don't have to answer your questions because I'm the FBI director. We do investigations and we can't tell you anything about them. Until we get to the end, if we even tell you then. That is what we have been told by people like Jordan Peterson for decades would be the death knell of the United States of America was if that part of our government gets turned upside down. And I think we're really close to being in that particular place. I think, as an example, and you and I haven't even had any part of this conversation, the Attorney General is an empty suit. Merrick Garland has no substance. On the other hand, Christopher Wray, the FBI director, does. Merrick Garland, he obviously goes with the flow. Christopher Wray is in the flow, entrenched in it already. Garland's a newcomer. I mean, he just walked across the street. He was a judge. And at the level of judging that he served at, he wasn't in the fray, the day-to-day fray. He was...
Oh, he's an order taker.
Absolutely. He is not a guy that is a great contributor to the issues of the day. And therefore, he does what he's told. And sometimes he tries to get out of his lane and he screws up like he did when he wrote that letter to all those members of the FBI offices around the nation to go after those evil parents that are tearing up those school board meetings. And so, go ahead.
You know, that's not the only letter he wrote. And this has been a very, very difficult process for me, but for a year and a half now, I have been aware of a letter that he sent out to all the U.S. attorneys nationwide. And I have a source inside DOJ. We may have talked about this before, that I made a trip out west last year sometime.
Yes, we did.
To try and put my hands on this letter. And I can only imagine that it has been purged. We've not been able to find it through we've not been able to get a release through a FOIA request, Freedom of Information Act request yet on the emails that were sent out at this timeline. But I've had the letter read to me. And this particular letter actually states that he was ordering his U.S. attorneys to pursue January 6th defendants with all the zeal and the gusto that they can. And the punchline is, regardless of what you think about the legality or the morality of those arrests.
Steve, that confirms that there is an undergirding. Maybe it happens in the deep bowels underneath the Potomac. I don't know. But there is an undergirding that is feeding all of this stuff that is anti-citizen and pro-big government. and it may be that stinking computer that you're interfacing with. There is some entity, and I think it's just a bunch of people. I think some of it, and I can't remember if we had this part of this conversation early this morning when we spoke. But George Soros, when he's in the United States, he has a gorgeous complex out in the Hamptons, way out on Long Island.
And I honestly,
you can only imagine. I've never seen it. I've been in the vicinity of it, but I've never seen it. But I can imagine, with all we know about George Soros, and we don't know everything about him. People need to understand, when you see somebody like him who's very quiet and working behind the scenes, you can always bet what's going on is far greater than what we see and know. But I can see how he purposely, and I've tried to puzzle through this for a couple of years now, knowing what he's been doing, attacking the rule of law in the United States, while at the same time trying to manipulate the structure and destroy the structure of free and fair elections in the United States. I can see him, with all this is going on, and Trump coming out last week and saying, I'm going to be indicted on Tuesday. I'm going to be arrested on Tuesday. I think that may have been a signal, and a warning light went off out in Long Island. And when that warning light went off, there was a phone call that was made to Alvin Bragg, and it was probably made by George Soros himself. And Alvin Bragg probably made a trip out to the Hamptons, and he got his, I don't want to say anything ugly, but he got his ears pinned back by his boss, his handler. And what Soros, I would think, based upon what's being aired right now, today, I would think that George Soros told Bragg, you pooped and you stepped in it, something to that effect. Because Alvin Bragg started bragging, that's an oxymoron there, but started bragging about the fact he was fixing to bring Donald Trump to justice and yada, yada, all that kind of stuff. And let it get out in the news. And of course, Bragg, he's trying to write the ticket to become an attorney general in some future administration. And he's he's using Manhattan as his, you know, platform to do it. But there, and the reason I bring this little process up is much of what we see in here, and you have been immersed in it in Washington, D.C., it's filthy. Gets all over you. You know it's there. You know it undergirds everything that goes on. But yet we can't put our fingers on it and find out everything about it yet. And I got to be honest with you, Steve, I don't even know if I really want to know. You know, what we do, what you and I do, is to find those things out. But, you know, if I opened a letter today and I could read exactly what's going on, I might be a little bit concerned, because I think it's much bigger than we think it might be.
Yeah, it might be, and it has such a convoluted, and it has an origin, Dan, in really, and again, I'm trying to watch my language here too as well. It reminds me one time an episode of the Three Stooges, and it was Curly. He was called to the witness stand in the courtroom in a trial, and the bailiff comes up and has him, you know, place his left hand on the Bible, raises his right hand, and the bailiff says, "Do you swear?" And then Curly immediately interrupts him and says, "No, but I know all the whites, and I'm trying to not swear right now." But the point being is that this genesis of all this comes from a lot of bad behavior by all of the players in this. I mean, you go back to the beginning and the source of this. Obviously, we have potential. It's alleged. It's not confirmed. It's denied by President Trump. Bad behavior with women outside of wedlock at the time. And then you have his attorney at the time, was his name Michael Cohen, is that right?
Yeah.
Who, you know, while he was under investigation, it came out, I think he was under investigation for tax evasion at the time, and it came out that he helped to orchestrate the silencing of a couple of women, one of them being Stormy Daniels. I don't remember the name of the other one, but obviously that piqued my interest because my daughter's name is Stormy. So you know, I see that in the news. And then she was, and ironically, she was living in D.C. at the time in her job. And so she had to come under the stress of now her name was a punchline on everybody's lips in the news. So she basically started going by it because her Storm is her middle name. So she started going by her first name at the time, which is Alexandra. She's back to Stormy now that this is all settled down. And then as this thing progressed, we had a situation where Michael Cohen, being his attorney, was so close to Trump at the time that he was actually on record as having said that he would take a bullet for his boss, you know, his boss being the president. And then after Cohen ultimately did take the bullet and pleaded guilty in connection with those payments to those women, Stormy and, as I said, I don't remember the other woman's name, then Trump set up Cohen as not only the fall guy, but then branded him as a liar. So the guy took a bullet and then Trump branded him as a liar. And so now they're at odds with one another. And now enter Steve Bannon and enter Rudy Giuliani and enter all of the other things, or Russiagate and the Steele dossier, and you bring all of this and you pile it on. And so you have bad behavior that led to this. Then you have accusations of behavior that we now know never happened. And fast forward 5 years, and they're digging back deep into that trough to pull this up to try and essentially, let's be honest, whether you like Trump or not, regardless of what your position is on Trump, whether you're a full-fledged Trump-only supporter, whether you're, hey, I'll take the guy if we can get him, he's better than, you know, Brandon, I'll take him. Whether you're a DeSantis guy or whoever you are, whatever, wherever you fall on the Trump spectrum, the bottom line is that he is in fact being once again targeted for purely political reasons to interfere with his next attempt at winning an election and winning the seat of president of the United States. That's all this is. It's just a political hit job. And again, regardless of the behavior that led to this.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. He may have done these things and set himself up for it. He may not have. He says he didn't. Nevertheless, he had an attorney who paid for it. So the point being is, regardless of how he got there, it is a political hit job. And that's all this is.
I am interested
to see where he's going to go with this. Because he is from New York, and because he is as a primary, his primary MO is as a bull in the China shop. And where this is going, if for nothing other than pure entertainment purposes, as a political junkie that I am, I can't wait to see what happens tomorrow or next week with regards to this.
Guess what? While we're talking, he launched a volley, another volley, just moments ago. And one of his favorite sources to put his stuff out isn't even in the U.S. It's the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
And I get all their stuff. Listen to what he just launched another volley. This is a quote. Trump launches an attack on Stormy Horseface Daniels extortion plot. That is vintage Donald Trump. And this sinister picture that I painted about the undergirding of all of the evil in D.C. Here's what I really think happened. I think he very early in his life, in his professional life, he found out it was there and he saw the draw from it. And he actually went up and looked from the edge down And he just made a determination. I'm not going to be a part of that. And they have spent every breathing minute since to destroy him because he won't join them. And I think what that headline I just read to you, I think this is an example of him making fun of the fact that they can't get him.
Well, and you know, and this will of course be the sideline aftermath is that the press is going to jump all over him for calling a woman, saying that she's horse faced. But in the process of that, they'll forget that Biden called a woman a lying dog faced pony soldier, whatever that means. I never looked up what the actual source and meaning of that is. But they'll forget that as they accuse him of being, you know, misogynist and calling her a horse faced woman.
Hey, I'm like you. We got to go, but I'm like you. I just can't wait to see what's about to happen. And I refuse to let fear of the unknown make me afraid. I got to be honest with you. I love a horse race. I love to see people getting in the same lane and going down the same path and seeing which one can get to the end of it first and bring substance with it. That's the thing that I believe the American blue-collar people really still love about Donald Trump. He relates because he talks about the things that are important to them, and he doesn't put a political spin on it. He goes right for the jugular every time. And a guy that goes to the corner bar and drinks a beer and talks to his buddies two or three afternoons after work every week, they can relate to that.
Well, I'll tell you what, unlike we usually do, I'll leave this on another semi upbeat note, and I'll say this, but okay. It's on topic, Dan.
Okay.
And that is that Alvin Bragg, for purely woke purposes and for the purposes of rewriting history and also for him being politically correct, he needs to change his name. As you know, here in North Carolina, you may have heard, in the last 3 days, the signs have been being pulled down at Fort Bragg, maybe one of the most famous military bases, well-known military bases in the world. Certainly the heartbeat of United States Special Forces operations has been for decades.
Yep.
Fort Bragg, of course, has been guilted into a name change. It's now going to be Fort Liberty because it was named after Braxton Bragg, who was a general in the Confederate Army. Well, obviously, we can't have that. We can't have streets. We can't have signs. We can't have military bases. We can't have ships or whatever named after anybody associated with the southern states pre-Civil War. So because of Braxton Bragg and his history as a general in the Confederate Army, Fort Bragg is now going to become Fort Liberty. And now Alvin Bragg needs to step up to the plate. And he needs to officially announce a name change in order for him to have and be in good standing with the good liberals that elected him in the state of New York, the city of New York.
Well,
there you go.
That's not going to happen, Steve, because he is woke and you're not. So he gets to do and say anything. He can just keep trucking right down the way he's going and he'll be fine. Steve, you are a treasure. We love having you every Tuesday, and keep us posted on what's going on. We're going to watch this thing closely. And I do believe, I don't think he'll ultimately be indicted, but I believe today or tomorrow there's going to be some really big news that comes out related to Donald Trump, of all people.
I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, buddy. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. You got it, Dan. Take care. Bye-bye.
In a world gone mad, telling the truth is a bold move. Your anchor in this sea of chaos is TNN.